listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 256 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show. And on today's episode, we're going to be discussing live stream success with Don Beyer. It's actually part one. Part two will feature another artist. Don was like many artists who had gone to Nashville looking for a way to make it in the music business. And when her career hit what she describes as a very, very low point, she opened up Facebook and hit the go live button and changed her entire artistic trajectory. And I think you're going to find a lot of interesting nuggets and how-tos along the way as Dawn describes how she connects with fans by using live streaming and makes a lot of money doing it as well. Lots of cool tips and tricks in this interview. I broke it up into two parts because I interviewed another artist, Henry Invisible, who's also having live stream success, and originally thought about making it one episode, but it was so much good information and started to get a little long, so I thought I'll break it up into two episodes. So that will be part two coming up shortly. Before we get to my interview with Don, I want to give a shout out to the folks at Bandzoogle. I just launched a Bandzoogle website. I had a Wix site before, and Wix was expensive, and you know, they try to make it sound like it's easy to use, but I actually had a really hard time using it, and so therefore my website just sat there doing nothing. But I switched it to Bandzoogle recently. You can check it out, smalltownpoets.tv. So many great tools that are geared specifically for artists, and it allows you to create a store commission free. They just launched the ability to gate live streams, so you can charge tickets for live streaming, and all sorts of great tools specifically designed for musicians to help you create an engaging website that really converts your fans and helps you monetize that activity as well. And the best part is, if you go to your CD Baby dashboard and click the big Bandzoogle banner, you will get free music distribution as well. So make sure you go log into your CD Baby account, click on the Bandzoogle banner, and get yourself a new website. It's time to get your digital house in order, so when the world starts opening back up, you're ready to hit the ground running. So again, log in your CD Baby account, click that Bandzoogle button, and get yourself a new website. Lastly, I'd like to say, if you've been trying things with live streaming, having success, have questions, having failures, please call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. We're going to be doing a lot of listener questions and comments about live streaming. The episode that follows these artist interviews is going to be very focused around hearing more from the community. What's working, what's not, other ideas, how to capitalize on the moment and the transition of having to build fan relationships 100% online. So be sure to do that. And with all that said, here is my interview with Don Beyer. Well, joining me is Don Beyer. Don, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Kevin.
Yeah, and it's something I'm excited to talk to you today. I know that you've been doing live streaming for a while, and Rick Barker video conferenced you in to a session at our conference when he was talking about monetizing Facebook and live streams and such. And then it's something you've been doing for a while, and a lot of artists are suddenly looking at and trying to figure out as a way to maybe tide things over until they're touring again. So we'll talk about all the things you're doing there. But before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself as an artist and where you're from and the kind of music you do.
Yeah, so I do country music. I started with country music, but now it's at the point where every independent artist can kind of, you know, country music is all different music at this point, and I'm able to really have more freedom in my songwriting. But I started writing music and playing music when I was 10 years old, and I'm 33 years old now. So I started at 10. I moved to Nashville when I was 16 for the first time. You know, then I moved back and forth because it was like, oh, you know, you move to Nashville and you think that you're just going to get there, and if your songs are just good enough, oh, you know, someone's going to pick me up off the stool and put me on the radio and it's all going to be great. You know, as soon as I just have good enough songs. And then you get there and you're like, oh, you know, there's all these people who are much better than me. And this is not just going to happen the way I was thinking. So, and a lot of it can be soul crushing when it comes to the music business. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can happen that can be soul crushing. And I ended up leaving Nashville a couple times and then kept coming back. And it wasn't until I was, you know, in my late 20s, because I'm on my fifth year now of going live on Facebook. So it wasn't until I was in my late 20s going into 30 that I found this platform, and it truly changed my whole music career and my path.
So where is home for you if when you're not in Nashville?
So I live in Boise, Idaho, and I moved out here after I had been using the platform long enough to be able to kind of go wherever I wanted. And I've always wanted to live somewhere with mountains and somewhere where I could go on hikes and all this stuff. And so I just love the views here. So we ended up moving out here to Boise.
You know, you talked about Nashville. Nashville can be extremely soul crushing. Mm-hmm. I went to college in Nashville and experienced the whole soul crushing nature of it. Mm-hmm. And I lived there for a while. I think it's interesting that you turned to live streaming. What was kind of the thing, especially 5 years ago when that was still a relatively new idea for a lot of folks, especially in the Nashville community who are very much more traditional music business minded? What made you see that as an opportunity and turn to that as opposed to more traditional paths of pursuing music?
So at the time when the Facebook Live feature came about, I was actually playing on Broadway for tips, and I had actually transitioned into playing full time on Broadway for tips because I had always played, you know, moving back and forth to Nashville. It's like, if you want to be there and be playing music, you got to find ways to also make a living, you know, because everyone's there doing the same thing and not all of us are able to make a living doing it. So at that moment, it was like I was playing on Broadway because I had just decided, all right, I'm going to go full time into music. And right now, I guess that means, you know, playing on Broadway and, you know, making enough tips to be able to pay the bills. And that was what all my friends were doing. And that was kind of the path to follow at that point, if I wanted to just be able to play music for a living at that moment in my life, because I was having to work like extra jobs all the time in order to be able to be there and play music. So when I went full time into playing on Broadway, I would play double shifts. You know, you have your 4 hours. And when you play on Broadway, a lot of people who come out to see us on Broadway don't understand that you're really working off their tips. I mean, you're getting a very small base pay and you're working off their tips. And a lot of people really just don't know that, I think. You know, people come there and they see you on these really fancy, nice stages in these big venues downtown on Broadway. And they think, oh, you know, they're so good. They must be making a good living doing this. And we are working off your tips. I mean, the first place I started to play downtown was called Wannabes. I mean, I was playing at a karaoke place as an acoustic artist. And I eventually like moved on to other venues. But I had been playing on Broadway a couple years before the Facebook Live feature came about. So see, I was already playing for tips for a living. That's what I was doing. So when the feature came about, I was like in the worst place of my life financially. I mean, I was living in a shack. I had just moved in that shack from living in a tent. I lived in a tent for 30 days. So, I mean, I was truly like, I mean, when I say shack, I mean like the floor of my house, my room was like not connected to the wall properly. So it was like every time it rained, it like muddied up that actual floor where I slept. So that's what I'm talking about when I say shack. Like I was driving a $300 car that barely made it to Nashville and back. And I was living about 45 minutes away. So basically I was going and playing in Nashville to just buy food and gas to go back and do it again. And so at the moment that the Facebook Live feature came about, I was truly at the very bottom when it comes to like financially and where my life was. And this feature, it popped up. Like I didn't ever use Facebook for anything other than just, you know, personal use, like checking on friends and stuff. Well, I had just gotten home from a gig, you know, exhausted, always losing my voice. Because when you do doubles, you're doing 4 hours, then 4 hours again right after the first one. So I was losing my voice and having to like kind of wait a couple of days to get my voice back and go back and do it again. And I was just exhausted of it. And that's, you know, I never wanted the label thing. I never wanted to like go get a label deal and, you know, just sell out arenas and be on the radio. That was never something that I resonated with. And I kind of always knew there was going to be a different path for me. I just didn't know what it was. And when I wanted to just be able to play my music, enjoy my life, you know. And when I got home that night from the gig, another gig on Broadway, I opened up my Facebook like I always do, you know. I just had my iPhone and I didn't even have a laptop at the time. I opened up my Facebook and there was this little button that said go live. And I'm like, what? So I click it, and there I was, you know, live on my Facebook, and picked up my, I mean, I started playing my guitar and singing right away on that platform. And for some reason, I guess because I had been playing for tips for a living, I just had this idea, which you'll see it all over the place now. I mean, it's crazy how many Facebook Lives we see right now. But I had this idea of, wait, you know, if I play for tips on Broadway, I'll just play for tips online. So I was like, I'll need a virtual venue. I mean, a virtual tip jar, you know, to kind of create a virtual venue for myself. So then I was like, well, what will I use for a virtual tip jar, right? And the first thing that came to my mind was PayPal. Back then, this is 5 years ago, right? So nobody was like sharing a virtual tip jar. I didn't even know anything about that. So I was like, well, I'll just get, you know, I'll go on PayPal. I ended up making a PayPal.me link. I think you and Chris talked about that. But I made a PayPal.me link and just slashed like The Real Nashville. And I came up with that name, The Real Nashville, because there at the time that show Nashville was popular. And I thought it was so funny because I'd be playing downtown on Broadway and I would legit have the set of Nashville behind me because they were going to be filming at that venue right after I was done. And I thought it was just so funny to me because I'm like, you know, the way the show's awesome, but like the way the show it goes is not really how it goes. Like, you know, we don't have like breaks. Like we don't have like these like fancy dressing rooms. We have smelly elevators, which we go up to try to get our, you know, $50 check or whatever, you know? So it's not like that. It's not like the show. And so I started hashtagging The Real Nashville. So when I started my virtual tip jar, I just called it The Real Nashville. And I started, you know, calling my virtual venue shows, you know, live The Real Nashville, like in Nashville, you know? So right away, I just started using this virtual tip jar and I got my first person. I was just playing my own songs, just sitting there in my shack. Like I had no heat in this place, right? So in the wintertime in Nashville, it gets pretty cold. And so I'd be like jackets, vests, like all like warmed up, like in my shack, like the iPhone's like set up on some books and I'm just like trying to fit in the shot. And I'm just like sitting there playing my songs, you know? And the first person hit my jar. And I've just always said since then that once something works once, you get it to work once. And it's like, oh my gosh, this works, you know? So I had that like aha moment, I guess, of like, well, wait a second. Like I'm just sitting in my shack. I'm not even going anywhere, you know? So, I mean, so I didn't even have internet. I was just using, you know, my phone. I was living out in the middle of nowhere. So I was like, wait a second, this works. So I just kept on. I mean, I went live probably some days, hours, you know, like I was just live all the time. And so I kept my Broadway gig, but I kept on going live. And it got to the point where I actually could quit my Broadway gigs because it just didn't make sense anymore. And it just kind of blew up from there.
What were some of the things that you think had worked for you with the virtual tip jar? And for those who haven't tried it yet, are you just sticking that link like in the comment section or how do people find the PayPal.me link and mm-hmm. what was your initial idea of like why it was working and how you've built off of that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you'll see so much now. I mean, you know, it's crazy how many people are going live right now and it's awesome, but you'll see so much now that people will go live and they'll just put the links up there. And what people need to understand, I think, is that from the very beginning, I always made it a tip jar. You know, so eventually it's like you almost train an audience to understand what that is, right? Because they can go, oh, a tip jar, like if I was at a, you know, live in-person venue, and that just clicks. So it's really important to do something in your description that's not just like, you know, oh, here I am live. I didn't write anything in the description. I just threw up a couple links, you know. It's about like, you know, live in The Real Nashville, here's my, you know, and then you're virtual, always calling it, whether you call it a tip bucket or coffee can or whatever you call it. Virtual tip jar was always what I called it. I'm talking about like, I did one just last night and like in the past 5 years, I've never changed it from being that. And I always say, you know, I come up with something like I have a bar here at my house. So I'll go live from Byers Backstage Bar. Always something, you know, put a little like, you know, whiskey shot in there or something like that. Always something because I'm seeing this as a virtual venue. And it's what we talked about what I'm coaching artists for, because it's like when you talk to Chris, you know, and you have a PayPal.me link that you use, but you can't just like throw the link up there. You need, you know, if you're really using this for a virtual venue and you're really expecting people to listen to what you have to offer, whatever it is. And then in return, you're wanting to monetize that, then you need to put work into how you're showing up, your best material, and creating a virtual venue for yourself using this platform.
Well, I like that idea that you're casting it as a virtual venue. Because Chris and I, we just recorded an episode of the podcast that will air right before this episode, which will have your interview, where we talked about the truth of live streaming. And we talked a lot about, like, right now there's so many people going live and they're doing a pretty poor job of it, not really thinking about it. And a lot of them are major label artists that we're seeing, like, engage in this for the first time and just kind of doing a poor job and not really doing it the best that they can. But I like the idea of thinking about it. It's a virtual venue, trying to make it look special, naming it, like, I like how you named it, giving it a theme. And
but then not overdoing it. I think you guys talked about that too. And it's like, when we talk about, like, showing up like a virtual venue, I mean, like, setting up your description, like having your songs together. What, you know, what's your best songs? You know, you don't go on a stage. When do you ever in person go on a stage, stand up there, kind of scroll through your iPad, wait for people to show up, play with your hair, just kind of chill out? You know, it's so, it's amazing, yeah. Because I did that in the beginning too. I mean, I didn't know how to go Facebook Live in the beginning, but now when I see it, I'm just like, I want to scream at people. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, because this video turns into like a YouTube video, like right after this, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you don't really want to, you want to delete as least amount of videos as possible because people are already sharing these videos. And I think it gets frustrating for people if you're deleting your Facebook Lives all the time, because then they're sharing it and it shows up as, you know, something that's not available anymore. And so I think, you know, and it's a live video, so it's very unforgiving. And I think what an amazing thing about it is we're seeing all these big artists now, right, go live. And you will truly learn, okay, is this person better than I thought they were, or are they terrible?
Exactly.
Truly, like, I've seen people, and I won't name names, but I've seen people where if that were my buddy, I'd be like, dude. You know, like, that's terrible. But it's like truly it's unforgiving. And you can't, when I say use it as a virtual venue, I don't mean set up your amp, set up your stage, set up all this thing and you go live. And what you do then is you cause a disconnect, because the whole thing about why this has worked for me is because the whole thing is coming through that iPhone into that person's living room, right? We can't do that if we are disconnected. And there's a few things that cause us disconnect. One of the big things being, for example, when I first started going live back years ago, I tried doing all kinds of different lives. I tried doing lives at my Broadway shows. You know, I tried doing lives where I have, like, the mic and everything, and there's people in the audience. Problem with that is if you're not just focusing on your Facebook Live audience, there's a disconnect. Okay. So it's almost like they're just tuning in kind of to your show. Okay. So a fly on the wall, I always say, like, a fly on the wall in your house, you know, say you've got your whole sound system set up and the camera's not very close to you. They're not feeling really close to you. They're just a fly on the wall kind of watching you do a show, right? Flies on the wall don't tip you. Flies on the wall don't buy CDs. I mean, you have to connect with that person watching you that moment. And that's how you get this to work. So it's really just about showing up and being completely vulnerable and real and bringing your best music. It's like, you know, if you really are not good, like, let's be like, you know, if you truly, like, cannot hold a note, well, that's a thing, you know, you're going to go live on Facebook, people are going to click it and they're going to have a hard time staying. That's just true. You have to show up with your very best. This is, like, not the easy way. This is, like, the way where it's like, hey, have your stuff together, you know, when you show up on this platform.
Well, part of the reason why I like the way you've called it a virtual venue, yeah, I don't want artists to think, hey, I need to go set up and make it look like I'm in a venue.
Yeah.
But part of the getting people who are watching you, part of it is training them to understand what you're doing. Oh, I am playing a show for you live right now on Facebook. I'm looking at you. Here is my tip jar. And so they understand, oh, this is a show. This isn't them goofing around on the internet.
Yeah, but not like a show like lights and cat, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like real.
Exactly.
What people really want. They want to see something real. They want to know. Because nowadays when we listen to the radio, we don't know, you know, how much of that is doctored or how much of that is not really what that person sounds like. So when someone can click on Facebook, find someone, you know, singing in the kitchen, you know, maybe they're in front of their little coffee station or something that just looks cool. And they click there and they're like, wow, this is this person without a mic or anything, you know?
What tools are you using to broadcast?
So in the beginning, I only had an iPhone. I still only use an iPhone. I only use my computer for my other work that I do. I still only use the iPhone. I always upgrade to the newest one. I only use the iPhone mic, and I've tried all different ones. I've tried mics that you plug in, like external mics and all, you know, all kinds of lights and all kinds of stuff. It's come down to like the simplest of lights and a tripod, you know, my iPhone mic, and I tilt the iPhone a certain way. Like I do it the same every time. And then I'm looking at what's right behind me, like what's in that box that's going to show. So I might go live in front of my bar with my on air sign behind me, and that's all you see. And there's a tip jar there. I have an actual tip jar, like an antique looking tip jar that I use in the shot. Like just last night we did a show and I do this thing where it's, you know, they hit the tip jar in it and I talk and I make a joke of, oh, you know, it's like your tip will actually come through my phone and land in this jar. And so like I do this funny thing where I'm live and like Jen's on the side of me, like just putting her hand in and dropping the cash in every time someone hits the virtual tip jar. So like we can actually real time, not only thank people like, hey, John, thank you so much for hitting the tip jar, but it actually, it's like showing them, you know, how it is when people actually see something. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. And even though that's funny, silly, it's not really a magic jar, you know, but it, for some reason, because it's interactive, people love that.
No, that's a great idea. It reinforces the idea that yes, this is virtual, but what you're doing has real consequences or real actions that happen in the screen, and also it helps you, the artist, with actual tips, and it kind of is a visual reminder that throw some money in the bucket, and when you do, actually, real money's going to fall.
Exactly, like engagement, and that's the whole thing. I mean, we're trying to come through a lens here, so it's not the same. Like people, you know, so many times, and you know what's so funny, Kevin, is like some of my friends now who I tried so hard to tell about this way back, like 5 years ago. It's like, hey, you got to start going live. You know, people who are playing on Broadway and stuff, friends of mine. Like, hey, you got to start going live on Facebook. And it was like, yeah. But, you know, like I have all these gigs and I really like to play for real people, like in person. And I'm like, guys, like that's the thing. And it seems so simple. But if you could see your views and your followers as real people because they are, like if you're going live in your kitchen and there's 20 people watching, you're like, oh, there's only 20 views. That's 20 people in your kitchen. Right? So that's 20 people you could turn into what I call your core audience who would buy and follow and in, you know, anything that you do, come to every show that you do, but you got to keep showing up and you have to really see them as real people because they are.
How much money have you been making from the virtual tip jar? Are you at liberty to say?
So right now, I think I told you that I've also, so for the past couple of years, probably the last 2 years, I've started doing a lot of coaching and stuff like that too. So I also, you know, write songs for a couple different companies. I do a lot of different stuff now that all stemmed from my Facebook Live. But I still, even now, I still use my virtual tip jar all the time, you know, because that's what people know me from. That's what I, you know, so... You know, my very first year, and when I did an interview with Rick Barker back my first year, he contacted me and he was like, I got to know how you're doing this and everything. And we talked and he was like, so what did you make this year? And I'm like, I have no idea. Cause you know, I mean, if you're like any other musician or if you're like me, like I was like, had no clue, you know, cause I had just come from like keeping ones in a jar and that was good for me, you know? So I'm like, I have no idea. So I bring all my numbers into an accountant and they, you know, do their thing. And they send me a thing back that I made $75,000 my first year. And I'm like, what? Like I used to like sit in my shack and wish I could make like, you know, a dream about maybe one day, you know, I might have a new car. So like since that first year, I can tell you that I'm on my fifth year. And since that first year, I've grown my audience, you know, and my income, and my audience is now at 111,000 people. And my income has grown by about 50% every year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
A big part of that being my virtual tip jar. Now I do a lot of things, a lot of fun things and interactive things with my tip jar. And I talk all about that stuff. But I mean, I'm just, you know, kind of like that keep it simple, stupid thing. It's like, you know, I just keep showing up with what I knew worked back then.
How often are you still doing Facebook Live performances?
So like right now I also have private concert groups now. I call them private concert groups. I think you and Chris touch on that as well. But private concert group where it's just a private group on Facebook and I sell tickets to concerts on there. So what I do is I will do shorter lives now on my main page and kind of move everybody over to a private page. So like right now during this time, I have a lockdown with Dawn group. And so I have actually been live in that group, like, you know, 26 times in the last 35 days doing like hour shows or 90 minute shows. That's just in that group. So then I also have like an artist group and I also, you know, I have all these other things, but, and I also go live on my music page. So I do actual full hour to 90 minute concerts in a private group now, where it's like, you know, this is, the tickets are $10 or $20 or whatever they are, and you can sell a certain amount of tickets. What I'm doing right now, because a lot of people are struggling right now, and it's a thing I've been talking to a lot of artists about. It's like, how do you feel good, you know, about having your tip jar or kind of feeling like you're asking for money in a time like this? And you have to really understand that, one, you're bringing something that's bringing healing and bringing something to other people. And when you give something to somebody else that makes them feel something or heals them in some way or makes their day better, I truly feel like you're doing them an injustice by not giving them a way to then do something for you or give back to you. And so it's not like you're just, that's why it drives me nuts when people go live and they're like, please donate to my jar. I'm like, no, not donate. Like, this is what you do. This is your gift that you're giving, right? So you're giving something and allowing people to give back to you. That's just like a person that works at the post office or wherever they work. That's your job. That's what you do. So there's nothing wrong with continuing to do your job right now because you're able to do that. Like when these artists start going live on Facebook and stuff, they're able to find a platform to use. And some people have lost their jobs and some people are struggling. If you're able to keep working and find ways to work, you need to do that. And you need to show up and give the gift that you have for everyone that's sitting at their house right now that might want to hear, you know, your music that has a message to it or something, you know? So I think it's really important to be, and it's hard for musicians. I feel like we have this, like, especially if you ever were in Nashville or were in Nashville for a good amount of time, there's this whole struggling musician like thing, you know, it's like, we're always supposed to be struggling. And it's like, no, you don't have to be struggling to be a cool musician. You know, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's like when you're playing downtown Broadway. I mean, I was so stuck in that where all my friends were like, oh, you know, I'm just like playing for you. We're all just playing for enough money to get gas, you know, but we don't have to just be stuck in that. We can find ways to, you know, get our music heard. And it's really a lot just up to us now. It's not about waiting for a label deal.
Well, I want to go back to what you said about the private shows, because that's something that I have still been curious to know if those are working for artists. I know there's a lot of platforms launching new tools to do gated ticketed shows. And I know there's a lot of platforms that have already gone out of business because they could not make it a viable business. So what platform are you using to sell tickets and gate a live stream?
Okay. So I can tell you, I'll start with telling you that I'm the hustler type. Like even back in the day on Broadway, I learned really quick that if I didn't split my gig with someone else, I would make all the tips, you know, like I learned that way early on. If I just play this whole gig myself, then I don't have to split the money with anyone. So I'm very about that when it comes to my business now. So the way I do it might take a few extra steps, but I don't have to pay other than just PayPal fees, you know, like normal we get, I don't have to pay for a service. So what I do is I use the private group on Facebook, right? So I start a new private group. I name it whatever that concert is, Byers Backstage Bar or Dawn Lockdown with Dawn Group. And I actually create a ticket on my own website, right? So I create a ticket, like a little flyer ticket thing on my own website. Now I've done all this on my iPhone, so that you don't have to have like a bunch of fancy things to be able to do this on your own. I've done all this on my iPhone. I'd create a little ticket, put it up on my Squarespace, you know, using Squarespace on my website. And I would grab that link. I go over to Facebook. I tell them I'm having a show. Here's the link. They click the link. They purchase a ticket. When they purchase a ticket, I then have like their email address and everything. So from there, when everyone purchases their ticket, I send them the link to request access to this group. So it's kind of these steps that they take, but I've been doing it now for a couple of years. So I've gotten pretty good at doing that. But because of that, I'm telling you that I am like a Facebook artist. Like I truly don't, like I use Instagram just as a funnel really, to remind people about something I'm doing on Facebook. I use Instagram for that, but I truly have used this platform and used it for even just creating my own concerts.
Now that's cool. I hadn't thought of doing it that way. The other question I have is how much have people been willing to pay for that ticket? And what was your sort of experience when you started charging, and any tips or advice you have for people that are trying to transition from, hey, I've got these diehard fans, I've been doing this Facebook Live, how do I funnel this into something that maybe is more revenue generating and people will pay for?
Well, first thing you want to do is write down the things you're going to offer for that concert that you didn't already offer, or you're not already offering for free on your main page. Now, when I say free, I mean you're using your virtual tip jar, but you're not charging for a ticket price, right? So
correct.
You're not putting a price on the ticket. So if you want to start doing is as soon as you first work on building that audience and build, you know, keep showing up doing Facebook Live, when you get to the point where you feel like you have a core audience, which is like the people who keep showing up, you know, and you keep seeing them, you keep seeing the same group of people often, even though there's new people on your live, you're seeing the same group. When you have that, you'll know, you know, because they'll start requesting your songs and all this and learning your stuff. Well, then what you want to do is you kind of want to strategize how you're going to move into then doing your first concert. Because if you, like, for example, if I do 90-minute concerts on my page all the time, what's the reason someone would want to buy a ticket for a 90-minute concert? So, but I still go live all the time on my Facebook and I need to show up on there to create new audience, right? So I have to still show up. So what I'll do is if I have a show that week, I might show up every day for 10 minutes on my Facebook and do a couple songs. And then I might put the link there to go, hey, you know, I have a full 90-minute concert on Friday. Make sure you request access to that. We're going to do some fun stuff and do some giveaways. I might do, you know, a CD giveaway or something like that. And think of things you can offer, whether you're doing a fan club group, because I also have a fan club group where I do a lot of things like behind the scenes stuff. But write down what you're going to offer in that concert that's going to be more than what you're already offering on your music page. On your main page, and then try to keep that separate and just keep, you know, telling people. Maybe you go on for 10 minutes a day and you're like, hey, I'm going to have a 90-minute concert.
So every time you're doing one of those concerts, the way you're gating for tickets, you're having to create a brand new Facebook group for that show, correct?
Right. So you have like your, like I have a fan club group that stays the same, and I have my lockdown group that right now is staying the same. But if I'm going to have just one concert, I'll create a group for that concert. Now, you know, you eventually move on to, and where I'm on my fifth year now. So where I'm at right now is that I have like right now, I have a lockdown with Dawn group. We've got a couple hundred people in there. And the way I'm working that right now, because we were talking about how people are struggling right now, it's a real thing. A lot of people are out of work and there are people who've been supporting me for the past 5 years. And so you don't want to be like, oh, if you can't afford this, you can't watch my music. You know, so it's like, I came up with this idea and it was just kind of random, but I came up with this idea for angel tickets, and I was just calling it like angel tickets, the gift of music. And so basically everybody can join this Lockdown with Dawn group, but a certain amount of tickets have to be sponsored or be sold before it triggers my next live concert. So for example, if they want to have me go live every night, then maybe one ticket angel buys 10 tickets, right? And then somebody else buys 20 and whatever they do. And those are the people who are purchasing the gift of music for those who can't right now. And then everybody still gets to watch. So that, like, I'm doing stuff like that at this point. But when I started doing private concerts, I was charging $20, $25 a ticket. And I was doing concerts for small, small groups, just one concert at a time.
And you're just selling all those tickets from your website, correct?
Right.
That's a good idea. Yeah. So basically you've found a workaround for your own subscription service using Facebook groups as the gating, and people buy a ticket and then you've got their email address. You can invite them to the group. That's a good idea.
Well, listen, there's plenty of ways, you know, Facebook could have, there's plenty of ways and things that could come about maybe where Facebook can help artists make this easier. But at this point right now, and there are other platforms you can go to and do an actual concert and just pay a fee. But if you really want to do it 100% independent and you really don't want to give that money out to these other, you know, things and places and businesses, then just do the few steps it takes. And can you, yeah, it's kind of a workaround. It's like, okay, well, I've got to do it, you know, I've got to funnel these people into this private group and then have my own tickets available on my website. And there's ways to do it. It doesn't take that long.
Well, the thing I like about what you're doing is that you're owning the audience that way, because they bought the ticket, gave you their email address, and now you have their contact info, as opposed to just Facebook selling the ticket, giving you some of the money, but then still owning that relationship with the fan because they have all the contact information.
Well, that's the whole thing too, because this is all about connection. And I am really careful about, like, okay, yeah, exactly. Like, if someone's buying a ticket, where is that email address going? And like being careful about that, because, you know, and I have people who have been with me for years. So it's a very, like, it's very much more connected than like the whole, if you look at the way it works with a label, you get a label deal and, you know, they promote your single and get a single out on the radio and you do all these things. And it seems like that whole idea of the artist being distant from the fan. Do you know what I mean? It's like that whole idea of like, oh, that's a famous person. You know, it's like, it's so different now, I feel like, because it's so real. And we have so many ways now. And now, if you think about it, all these famous people or all these huge people on like radio and stuff like that are having to actually now come back onto this, you know, one of these platforms and go, okay, here I am, just raw. Here's my music. But this way of doing it, it's so like you're creating these connections because you're able to actually respond to people and email people back and comment. And, you know, sometimes I send a voice memo to people back. And I mean, I've been able to travel the whole world doing living room shows, you know, like showing up, like I'll go to like Ireland or London or somewhere, Canada, and like actually go all the way there to sit in a living room with a few people who know every single word to my song. And it's just different. It's not the same as like a big arena and all that. It's just a totally different thing.
Well, that's awesome. Do you have any final words of advice for artists that are trying to jump into the live stream world? I know that for many, this is old hat. Some like artists like yourself have been doing this for a while, but for a lot of artists, this is finally a moment where they're like, okay, we need to stop and take a look at this and take a serious stab at trying to go live, or it's an option, or what are the options around it? But do you have any advice for an artist who's just jumping in?
Yeah, just prepare yourself and your songs and put your thing, really think of this truly as a virtual venue. I think that will help you a lot, because you'll think like, oh, okay, yeah, it doesn't make sense for me to be looking up songs on my iPad and staring at my iPad the whole time, because I wouldn't do that at an in-person show I was putting on. So just try to think about that before you click that live button. And please, when you click that live button, just start right. Like if you're, especially if you're first starting out, you have to understand that these people don't know enough about you to want to know anything about you. Does that make sense? It's like what are you offering? Like just start out with your music. Like when you first start, just start playing your music and understand that as soon as you end that live, it's going to then turn into like a YouTube video. So you don't want to just be sitting there waiting for people to come in. They are there. People are going to be there. So just start your show, really think of it as a virtual venue. I think that will help you a lot while also showing up 100% real. And there's going to be moments it's live. You're going to mess up. You're going to sing the wrong note. You're going to play the wrong chord. Things are going to happen. You have to just keep showing up and be vulnerable and be real. Like if you're like, hey, this is my first live ever, I'm so nervous. You want to be able to say that. And you want to be able to be open and real with people. That's what people are craving right now, is something real. They want to be able to click that thing and come into your living room or your kitchen and listen to your music. So, the other thing is I just finished making, my new program. It's called Making It on Facebook. It's called Making It on Facebook, the opening act. So it's called that because I'm also coming up with a program called Making It on Facebook, the headliner. And so it talks more about like the stuff I'm doing now. But just the beginning stuff and, you know, doing your first like online concert, stuff like that. Just the beginning stuff and the beginning phases and just getting started and knowing all those things. I think I gave you the link, but I'll give you the link and totally go and grab that program and go through there.
Yeah. What's the web address for that?
It's www.therealmakingit.com.
Excellent. And if someone wants to check out your live stream, are you just
at Facebook.com? Dawn Byer Music. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, Dawn.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Kevin. I really appreciate that.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Thanks again to Dawn for sharing a lot of her tips and tricks and her story. And there'll be links in the podcast notes where you can find out more. She's doing a lot of coaching, helping artists to learn how to better engage their fans in this way. And she's had a lot of success doing it and has some good resources for you. So check those out. And again, if you want to share some of your experiences with live streaming or using video or just connecting with fans online, since we've had to shift 100% to that mode during the pandemic, I want to hear from you. You can call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And that's going to do it. We'll catch you next time. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.